Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. During the 1990s, during the height of the AIDS crisis here in San Francisco, the first gay black theater troupe, the Pomo Afro Homos, was formed. Their shows, usually at Josie's, the seven-night-a-week gay cabaret at 16th and Market in the Castro, were a mix of sketch comedy, music, and dance. The group is back in action, coming to the New Conservatory Theater of San Francisco October 17th through the 28th, reprising their hit show, Fierce Love, Stories of Black Gay Life. My guest is one of the founders of Pomo Afro Homos. Brian Freeman, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks.
Finally got you on the show. It's going to be great.
Here.
And you're doing the show with all these new cast members. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to go back, though, into the past a little bit. Now, Pomo Afro Homo stands for Postmodern African American.
Postmodern African American.
Homosexuals.
Homosexuals.
That's such a wrong word, but go ahead.
Yeah, people usually, once you get through the postmodern and the Afro, people usually get the last part. Usually you don't have to explain.
What's the postmodern about?
Postmodern, well, you know, the group is from the early 90s when postmodernism was very much an artistic moment in architecture, in art, in dance. The idea of taking the modern and fracturing it and recreating something out of the shards. And so that's kind of what we were doing. The name came from my partner at the time, who was an art history professor, Kobina Mercer, who's still an art history professor. He's at Yale now. And
it's a kind of provocative name, Brian.
It's very provocative.
Homo, you know, Afro Homos. People are like, uh-oh, he said homos.
He said
and
homos.
Afro, oh, people don't even have their hair like that. I mean, Pomo, what's Pomo, right? Is
what's
that pomegranate?
There's Pomo Indians in Northern.
And then
Northern
Pomo Indians?
California. There was some confusion about that.
Really?
We actually, yeah.
They got their panties in a wad?
Well, no, they were like, we actually had some gay Pomo Indians come to the show.
So, wow.
Which was kind of cool back at the moment. But it's sort of a lot of, it's kind of the alliteration of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to say. It's a way of saying, you know, black and queer and smart and funny and
well, and
all
there
of those
wasn't
things.
Anything really, the culture, think of it, this is 90 to 95. And there wasn't, there was In Living Color, this TV show on Fox. Was that around that era?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right.
In Living
so
Color,
they made
Blaine and Antoine, the film critics.
Blaine and Antoine, the film critics, who were just so over the top, switchy queens.
Over the
just
top.
Very gay.
Beyond
and
gay.
You actually make fun of that in one of your pieces we're going to play a clip of.
We do make fun of them.
That's always fun.
Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer.
Right.
We're doing a parody of Siskel and Ebert, the film critics. And so, which was very, at the time, was very controversial within the black gay community. It was like, oh, we're on television. Oh, but that's not us. And, you know.
Well, they're making fun of us,
It sort of seemed to know us in some ways and also loathe us in some ways. So it was
making fun of us by turning it into caricature and making it into comedy.
Right. But
we're laughing at them for being so swishy and gay.
But it was always because the two snaps, everyone who wasn't doing two snaps
everybody was hugely famous. Yes.
Very popular.
So in some ways, it sort of gave you visibility. I mean, I remember a time back in the early 90s when, you know, it was Howard Stern actually in the mid-90s that made lesbians visible. But lesbians were very invisible. Nobody said the word, and they said it in a weird way. They get all weird, and I make fun of that in my comedy act. But it's like, you know, we were invisible, and then all of a sudden Howard Stern was like, lesbian. And then you had the vagina monologues, and it's just gone out of control, Brian.
Out of control. And now on radio. Weekly.
Well, let's go back to
Weekly
those.
Lesbian.
Let's stay right there in those early 90s. Now, this was not an easy time. This is the height of the AIDS crisis. And you're daring to do out black gay theater material. And so tell me some of the things you went through.
I don't know. It was an out moment at the, as well.
Well, there was ACT UP, and there was the anger
up,
that we felt.
There was Queer Nation, which sort of even a next generation of gay activism, and the show really sort of tried to captured that moment, really came, I'd say emerged from that moment. Josie's Cabaret, where of course
we both
performed in back in the day, but it really it opened, I think, in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
In the Castro District, right?
It's 16th, seven night a week gay cabaret.
Seven night
stand
a week.
Up, drag,
gay
theater.
Cabaret, and it's when it started, it was mostly doing stand up, but then
Lipsinka
came and
theater pieces were produced. Your shows,
Marga Gomez, all kind of people. And I was actually talking with Donald Montwill, the curator,
and publicist,
and
now passed
another
on.
Show, not a gay show that I directed, was going to do a run there. So I was in there meeting with him about that, and I just said, you know, I think it'd be great if somebody did a black gay show. I don't know that, you know, anyone's really done one. I couldn't think of one that I'd seen. Maybe there was sort of a black lesbian show at Theater Rhinoceros in like the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. Or something, but really not much. The film Tongues Untied by Marlon Riggs had come out a year earlier, and I'd worked on that, and that was an amazing experience. And
for people who don't know about Tongues Untied, tell us a little more about
Tongues
that.
Tongues Untied is a film by Marlon Riggs.
The late Marlon Riggs.
Filmmaker Marlon Riggs, based in Oakland and Berkeley. And Marlon, it's a experimental documentary that uses poetry and personal narratives and music to explore black gay life, particularly in that moment.
During AIDS.
During AIDS and in, you know, late 80s and stuff. Marlon had himself been diagnosed with HIV. He was actually going to make another film, and when he had kidney failure, and then he recovered from that and decided that he didn't know how much time he had, and this was a film he really wanted to make.
And it made history.
And he made it, and he made it on just a shoestring with
And this is before digital video, when it was so much cheaper now. This is when it was a film.
It was shot on video, mm-hmm. but not digital video.
Right, and all of those costs, though, were much higher.
All those costs. And it first showed on a late night on KQED. And they were like, oh, no one will watch it. Everyone watched it. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, just walking around, I'm in it, and it, you know, just walking around the city, I just felt everyone's eyes on me at the time. But it played at the Castro for 2 weeks on a double bill with Isaac Julian's film Looking for Langston.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Brian Freeman, one of the founders of San Francisco's black gay theater troupe, Pomo Afro Homos, postmodern African-American homosexuals. Their hit show is being reprised. It's called Fierce Love. It's at the New Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, October 17th to the 28th. You can find them on Facebook, Pomo Afro Homos, and at NTCSF. That's the theater, NTCSF.org. Let's hear a piece of the show. This is from Fierce Love from 2011.
No,
this is actually from...
This is from the original.
The original.
I think. I hope.
No, that's right. Let's hear from this. This is
This is recorded at La Peña in Berkeley.
Oh, that's right.
At a benefit for Ashe, a black lesbian literary journal. So there's lots of loud, screaming lesbians in the audience at this black gay man
This is
show.
We Are here on Out in the Bay.
We are oceans of darkness, glimmers of light. We are numerous and varied, flamboyant, dull, pious, perverse. We are the who's who and the who's not. We are centuries of silence, milliseconds of sound. We are numerous and quiet.
White Fairy. Cruel and loving. Tight ass and loose.
The Pomo Afro Homos. It's from your original recording here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Brian Freeman, one of the founders of the group that is performing Fierce Love, reprising their signature show at the New Conservatory the 17th through the 28th of this month. You went in 1993, Brian, and to a theater in Anchorage, booked you, and they asked you to come there and perform. Tell us what happened.
Theater and up out in north. Anchorage, Alaska.
And what happened?
It was great.
It wasn't great.
If you like, no, it wasn't great.
What happened?
They booked the show, and then I'd never been to Anchorage, Alaska. I thought that was kind of cool that they would invite us up there. And they, in getting ready to publicize the show, they got free space on the backs of the public transit buses to put posters for the Pomos. And so they had these posters.
On bus panels?
On bus panels,
ads
right.
for the Pomo Afro for, Homos
right. well,
in Anchorage?
Community service.
I can just imagine.
Get, but, you know, it's Anchorage, so this is actually a great thing to get if you're doing a show up there.
That's right.
So they made these posters. They just put Pomo Afro Homos, Fierce Love, and there was a photograph, but really kind of turned into a drawing just of the eyes with a pair of glasses, just, you know, an image from the show. And the director of the transit system, I think his name was Fink, Tom Fink, I believe his name was, flagged
this. We're naming names.
It's a part of the public record, to the mayor of Anchorage, whose name was Titus, which we mispronounced as often as possible. And he said that he thought this poster violated family values and therefore was unfit to go
in public on a bus.
To go public. And so this was just a few months after Pat Buchanan had given his famous family values speech at the Republican National Convention. So that the word that they would use that term just set people off. And the ACLU took the case for the theater company and sued to get the posters put up on the back of the bus. So this becomes a press story first in Anchorage, and then down here in the San Francisco papers picked it up, and it went back and forth, and it actually went to court, and the judge ruled that by these standards, most contemporary drama, all of Shakespeare, would not be able to have a poster put up. So the posters went up, and we flew up to Anchorage, Alaska. And once the posters went up, it kind of exploded up in Anchorage and became an even bigger thing.
Selling tickets.
Selling.
Controversy
completely,
sells.
Completely. We only did two performances, but in a 1,500-seat theater.
So they
ended
up helping you out.
They ended up, no, when we go up there, our name was on the sign at the shopping mall. It's like Pomo Afro Homos. On the side of the pancake house, it was like Anchorage welcomes Pomo Afro Homos. It was complete.
And this is 93.
This
such
is
a time.
92.
Yeah. When, you know, we were at war with AIDS. We were at war with the White House. We were at war with.
Right. Clinton wasn't yet.
Ourselves as a movement. We were, and you know, ACT UP. We were just, you know, we were devastated by AIDS, especially here in San Francisco.
The battle was on.
The battle was on. It was the culture war. We talk about, you know, the culture war now in terms of the elections and stuff, but this was the heart of the battle at that time.
Yeah, it was great. It was kind of a shock to go from this act that was basically performing for the gay community in either clubs or performance spaces around the country, but to be in a sort of this huge thing. And then, you know, the African-American community in Anchorage took it as the whole dust-up as a shot against them. So we had more black ministers. It became a thing, like, which side of this are you on? And the black community said, we're with the POMOs on this. You know, this is an attack on us. So we had more black ministers than we ever had at the show.
Sort of then in 2008, when Prop 8 passed here, the black people were blamed. Black voters were blamed.
Were blamed.
And Hispanic as well.
Right.
Or Latino, however you want to say that. But they were blamed for that. And, you know, this whole idea that the black churches are even against Obama, President Obama, for his support for gay marriage equality.
That's a whole
and then in the
bunch of ministers that are, you know, organizing to vote, to not vote for Obama because,
because
of
that
marriage, because
the wedge issue.
A wedge
They're allowing it to be a wedge issue, even in that community now, which is quite a reversal of, it's just interesting. The other thing that's going on, too, that I noticed is in the current issue of Out Magazine, Timon West, founded the Deep Dick Collective, one of the groups that you're paired up with for your upcoming show.
Well, one of our guys, Rashad Pridgen, was formerly part of the DDC.
Right. Anyway, he's quoted in this piece, Timon West, in this piece on Out Magazine, the cover article, saying no one will support you if they know you're gay. This is about this Frank Ocean, who is a hip-hop and soul artist, who basically came out by putting this letter about being in love with this man on his Tumblr page, and it went worldwide within moments. And it really has been big news. It was big news this past summer.
Big news. He was guest artist on Saturday Night Live.
Big news.
For the opening thing.
And it shakes up a little bit on the hip hop. So the article in Out is all about the hip hop and rap communities and how, you know, homophobia has always been a part of it, from Eminem's lyrics in 2000, and then now Eminem doing things with Elton John and trying to be supportive, and all the sort of, you know, evolution of consciousness within that part of the entertainment industry. But anyway, this is a quote from Timon West. No one will support you if they know you're gay. He says, fierce love. Wait, I'm sorry. No one will support you. And people are saying that, you know, I missed it. Ready? I got it. The notion in the black community is that coming out is a social death and you might as well die. For white artists such as George Michael, Melissa Etheridge, Katie Lang, and Elton John, their record sales did not plummet, nor did their careers suffer. It's only within the black community. And then they asked all these representatives for Queen Latifah, who's rumored to be gay, there I've said it, Missy Elliott, Nicki Minaj, that they would not comment on this article. And so there's still this resistance going on within the black community, whether it's the ministers or the entertainment industry, about being black and gay. And that's why we talk about, you talked about it back then, Keith Boykin wrote a book about the down low.
The DL.
The DL. Talk about that a little bit.
About the DL?
Yeah, what was the material you did about it back then?
Oh, back before, that term I think came into popular usage probably about 10 years ago. I remember people kind of used it, and then there was an article in the New York Times that I think that kind of sent the term viral. But that's,
it means hiding your
gay sexual activity if you're
black.
On the down low. You keep it low, out of sight. Do what you take care of your business.
Don't talk
do what you
about
need
it.
To
you
do.
Don't show it. It's all private.
Don't show it, although it's sort of more like, it's just like everybody knows we're just not going to have the conversation. We're just going to pretend it's not.
Right.
It's not
in the black churches.
It's not happening. Mm-hmm. And it's it's sort of an old in the black church, black churches would be silent places without the gay choir directors,
right,
the organists,
and the singers,
the ministers.
Ministers,
the
singers.
Truth be told, singers, the whole, and a good, percentage of the population. It wouldn't be what we think of as the black church, but in many, it's just not spoken of, or it's spoken of in code, or this kind of
and
thing.
And it seems to be an somewhat acceptable thing. It's the way they've coped with not being able to face how many gay people there are in the black communities. Is that right?
It's
hard to cope with.
It's history. It's sort of survival strategies. It's religious beliefs. It's a lot of things.
Do you address that in Fierce Love, your show coming up at New Conservatory Theater? By the way, my guest is Brian Freeman of the Pomo Afro Homos. I'm Marilyn Pittman. You're listening to Out in the Bay. Do you address the down low in the current piece you're going to be doing this month?
We do. I mean, not There's a piece called I Don't Want to Hear It that I perform in a kind of
Can you do a little?
And see if I can get my DL voice on. I haven't had to be Butch today, so it's a bit. It's been at the computer, you know. It does. It's a gay. Oh, what is that, huh? Gay. What is that? Do I look like somebody's gay to you, huh? Yeah, I like to catch me a little taste of the other side now and then. I said now and then. That don't make me nobody's punk. All right, all right. So there. Trying to channel my kind
of like
Oakland man, Mr. Man. There,
Mr. Man.
It's a lot of work being Butch, at least for me. How about you?
This show is not about me.
Yeah, it's not about you.
Well, I try to not make it
about
me.
All of us.
Much possible. Yes, I suppose.
It's about the human condition.
Dark Fruit
it
was
is.
Your other show.
Dark Fruit was the second
from
show.
From the 90s.
From the 90s.
And it was darker in material, too.
It was very
designed
dark,
to
right.
provoke people. Talk about what you were trying to do then.
Fierce Love was written. It was, I mean, we played the little clip of We Are. It's an affirmative show. It interrogates the, you know, ideas of what does it mean to be black and gay, and what, you know, who are we, who is the community, etc. Dark Fruit kind of went to another step where it's kind of, okay, so we know who we are, but what, you know, what about all this other stuff? When we did Fierce
Love, what other stuff? What do you mean?
Oh, you know, sort of racism, you know, the AIDS, community, all kinds of issues, family, mom, all kinds of just harder to talk about things that we tried to
more in your face as well, as I remember.
More in your face in a different kind of way. Interracial relationships. We got a lot of pushback with the first show about because it's mostly, you know, primarily, not exclusively, but primarily the stories were focused around black gay men. Got a lot of funny kind of pushback from the white gay communities saying, like, well, why don't you talk about us? It was kind of like, okay, well,
because we're not white.
That's at first. And then I said, well, sure, why not? Why not? Why not just do
I'll
it?
Do let's your see. Show for you.
Well, why not? You know, as is, sure, we can. You know, we why can write about that as well.
Yeah, we're taking requests.
Yeah. So.
Well, there is a lot of racism in the gay community. The movement has been led by upper class and upper middle class white men and women.
The Castro, you know, the Castro, particularly if you, my partner, Peter Stein, made actually a documentary about
Castro.
The Castro called The Castro. And it's never an exclusive white male zone, but there are a lot of.
It's predominantly white.
Predominantly white. Gay men from the Midwest, you know, sort of Castro clone and stuff like that.
Let's listen to another piece of the that you brought with you today. This is called Men on Men's, and this is a satire of.
This is a satire of ACT UP and queer AIDS activism from back in the day, as well as a send up of Blaine and Antoine, the film critics
from In Living Color.
From In Living Color.
Here we go.
Hi. I'm Blaine Edwards.
I'm Antoine Merriweather.
Welcome to Men on Men's, the show that used to look at movies from a man's point of view.
But now we've dropped all that pretense.
That's right, girl.
And we just look at men.
Woo! Our first men's this week is LeBron James.
Woo! Touch me in the morning, then just close the door.
Close it tight. Now, we can't confirm rumors that LeBron's heat is sweet.
Shut up, girl.
But that hard pumping butt alone gets two snaps up.
You know what I would do with all them balls?
So that's from your current 2011. That's from 2011. That's the new stuff because it's mentioning LeBron James.
Yeah, yeah. We've done with this. The show is call it a remix. We've tried to update some of the material. It's, you know, not every joke is still funny 20 years later. Some still are, surprisingly. I wondered when we did this, if people would still know, like, the characters from In Living Color. I mean, we would, because we're of that generation.
Taking people but, in their 40s
but,
as well.
But then younger people said, stage manager, who's in his 20s, said, me and my buddies, we watch it on YouTube all the time.
See, yeah. That's thank goodness for YouTube.
Thank goodness for YouTube.
Let's listen to one more clip before we have to go. This is actually the Just Us Club, and this is about not the prettiest queens, right?
They're not the prettiest.
They're not the prettiest.
These are not the gym boys.
These are not the prettiest queens. No, it's the Just Us Club. This is the Homo Afro Homos here on Out in the Bay.
I'm Peaches, and I'm Popcorn, and I'm Pepper, and we're the Just Us Club. Just Us. This is a very exclusive organization.
Very.
Don't get your hopes up. Because, kids, we are tight.
Tighter than the Eastern Star. Tighter than Oprah's weeds.
Airtight. Babies, you couldn't work your way in here with a razor. So don't even try it. Don't even consider it.
Don't think about it.
Unless you meet the requirements.
Grand matron, my may I Peaches.
Yes, most revered sister daughter Pepper.
Don't you just love our titles?
Why don't you spell out the requirements for the children? I will, when I'm ready. Oh. And what would help our highly esteemed grand matron, mother may I credit to her community, Peaches, get ready. If you would shut up, back off, and back me up.
Well, all right.
That's a little piece of Pomo Afro Homos. They're coming to the New Conservatory Theater October 17th through the 28th here in San Francisco with a reprise of their show from the early 90s, Fierce Love, and a lot of new cast members. But the founder, one of the founders, Brian Freeman, is here with me on Out in the Bay Live tonight talking about the past, when what it was like to do it, do the piece back then, the pieces back then, and be one of the first out gay theater troops, black gay theater troops.
And it's been, I mean, doing the show toured over the last year to five different cities. And played to both people who saw it back in the day, as well as people who were literally not born back in the day. And it's been gotten a great response from both communities.
I wish you the best in growing a new audience and continuing on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Brian Freeman, thanks for being with me on Out in the Bay. You're awesome. Thanks for listening to Out in the Bay, people. It's a weekly show about gay life. It streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7, except for next week, the 11th, when we are preempted for the vice presidential debate. Then we archive our shows for podcasting and on-demand listening at outinthebay.com, and we're on your phone. Just go to outinthebay.com, download the Stitcher app. We've been on the air for 8 years now. We need your support. You can hit the Donate Now button to keep us on the air. Thanks to WY Enterprises for our website. They help you manage your life and your office. WYEnterprises.com. Write us with your comments or questions. Marilyn at outinthebay.com or Eric at outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW, Joanne Marr is our engineer. Thanks, Joanne. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. Thank you.